Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where no great issue polarizes people more emotionally than the issue of the role of religion in American life. It's not the question of whether there should be an established church, one established church, one established religion that rules over all Americans. Not the issue as to whether we should have government doing what the Puritan government did in Massachusetts, enforcing rules of Sabbath observance, or that people are not allowed to sleep during sermons, that they must attend church every Sunday. Nobody wants that. Nobody talks about that. The real question that seems to divide people is America's religious nature an essential element of this country since its founding? And for those people who deny that it is an essential element of America, for those people who say that the religious right is some kind of evil attacking force that wants to impose some alien theocracy in America, they would have to indicate that, okay, America was clearly, as we've shown in this very special broadcast, America has clearly been a deeply Christian nation. Always has been from our founding. But people say, well, it's not that way today. Okay, when did it change? How did it change? When did this idea of a change, of America losing its Christian nature, its Christian identity, its Christian heritage, when did that idea of America being something different kick in? We will approach that question and many more in this very special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. Is America a Christian nation? Isn't it amazing that in a country where our great national holiday, as opposed to an international holiday, Christmas is an international holiday, our great national holiday is Thanksgiving. Okay, how can anyone deny the deeply religious nature of a country whose national holiday is called Thanksgiving and is based very, very clearly on Christian traditions? To go back to the founders one more time, and to some of the slanders about the founders, it is completely true that a lot of the founders were very adventurous religious thinkers. They were not conventional, tradition-bound Christians. And that included George Washington. One of the things that has been hotly debated among different advocates in this is that famous painting showing George Washington kneeling in prayer at Valley Forge. Did that really happen? Did he really kneel in prayer? George Washington had a tough time with organized religion and with church in general, but he was a deeply Christian guy. He may have, in fact, had a tough time with kneeling in prayer. So it's not clear that that image was accurate, but the true image of George Washington believing in God's role in human affairs, rejecting deism, in other words, that is incontestable. When he says in his first inaugural address, the very first address by a president under the Constitution, that no people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States. Okay, the first president is telling you there is an invisible hand that conducts the affairs of men. And no, it's not the invisible hand of some super-secret conspiracy of outer space aliens. In his portraits of our founding fathers, John Meacham, who's well-known as the editor of Newsweek, controversial editor of Newsweek, he did a fine book which is called American Gospel, God, the Founding Fathers, and the Making of a Nation. He makes it clear that the God-haunted nature of the men who made a revolution helped to shape their personalities and their character. They all, according to Meacham, delved and dabbled in religion. While Jefferson edited the Gospels, Benjamin Franklin rephrased, and rearranged the Book of Common Prayer. John Adams considered the ministry, but chose law instead. For the rest of his life, he was a Unitarian who privately confessed a weakness for the beauty of Episcopal liturgy. Samuel Adams, a fierce advocate of independence, was a Puritan who looked askance at other faiths, but knew that faith and political warfare were a deadly combination. End quote. Now, the one founding father that everybody always brings up who had the biggest problem with religion was Thomas Paine, the pamphleteer who wrote Common Sense, arguing for independence. He was British. He came over to this new country to be part of the revolutionary struggle. But even Thomas Paine would fit more comfortably with today's religious conservatives than with the secular militants who claim him as one of their own. At the time, the restless revolutionary's attack on traditional Christian doctrine in his book The Age of Reason alienated virtually all of his American comrades. Nevertheless, even after that, in a 1797 speech to a learned French society, Thomas Paine maintained that schools must concentrate on the study of God, presenting his arguments with an eloquent insistence on recognizing the Almighty that would delight James Dobson of Focus on the Family, but would mortally offend the secular purists of the ACLU, the American Criminal Lawyers Union. Here is what Thomas Paine said in 1797. "It has been the error of the schools to teach astronomy and all the other sciences and subjects of natural philosophy as accomplishments only, whereas they should be taught theologically, or with reference to the being, capital B, who is the author of them. For all the principles of science are of divine origin. Man cannot make or invent or contrive principles. He can only discover them. And he ought to look through the discovery to the author, capital A. When we study the elements of geometry, we think of Euclid. When we speak of gravitation, we think of Newton. How, then, is it that when we study the works of God in the creation, we stop short and we do not think of God? It is from the error of the schools in having taught those subjects as accomplishments only, and thereby separated the study of them from the being who is the author of them." This is all extraordinarily important, because part of the entire basis for the assault on America's religious heritage is, well, we're actually restoring the faith of our founders who had faith in seculars. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Because one of the key elements that the founders held in common, regardless of their personal religious outlook, was a belief in the benefit of religious faith. Okay, despite Tom Paine's reverence for the author of nature, his former American colleagues still denounced him for his rejection of Christianity. In a diary notation of July 26, 1776, John Adams asserted, quote, "The Christian religion is above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times. The religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. Let the blackguard Paine say what he will. It is resignation to God. It is goodness itself to man." Like Adams, the other founders looked beyond Christianity's truths, even when they generally accepted them, and passionately affirmed its benefits. They unanimously agreed on the importance of fervent faith in protecting and nourishing the republic that they had launched. Washington's farewell address provided the most famous formulation of this belief. The president said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and to cherish them." That was George Washington. Okay? For people to suggest that our founders did not want Christianity to flourish in America is simply not true. They did want to keep the federal government from endorsing one form of Christianity. But they themselves affirmed again and again and again that America's strength and its future and its liberty depended on faith in God.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news. News on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Of the Michael Medved Show. For more history programs, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com and check out our new history podcast for premium members called In Light of History.
You're listening to a very special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. Under the heading, Is America a Christian Nation? Yeah, it's a controversial proposition, but one of the points in which our founding fathers agreed, even when they disagreed about religion, For instance, it is absolutely true that Thomas Jefferson was skeptical about some passages in the Bible. The Jefferson Bible that he worked on and spent time agonizing over involved him putting together those passages of the Bible that he liked and kind of snipping out those passages of the Bible he disliked. But by the way, Jefferson was not a Muslim, despite the fact that the first Muslim member of Congress, Keith Ellison, was sworn into office on a Quran that had belonged to Thomas Jefferson. What's ironic about that, and the press didn't generally report, was Jefferson wrote horrible things about the Quran. He really disliked the Quran, and he thought that Islam was not a good religion. After all, he had our first war that he conducted in 1805 against the Barbary pirates, the first Islamic terrorists to threaten Americans and American fighting men. But that's beside the point, because the point of agreement for all of our founders, which is actually the point of essential agreement among religious believers of various stripes today, is not on specific doctrine. It is not on specific dogma. It's on the proposition, very simply, that religion, which in American terms has always meant Christianity, because the overwhelming majority of people in this country from the very beginning and to the current day have been Christian, that Christianity is good for the country, that it actually helps the country achieve its aims and is a blessing for all of the nation's people. John Adams, for instance, the successor to George Washington in the White House, wrote to his cousin Zabdiel Adams in 1776, and this is a direct quote, "Statesmen, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion, capital R, and morality, capital M, alone, which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand." In other words, whatever your questions and arguments about specifics of religious faith, Americans have never questioned the idea that religious faith is good for the republic and that Christianity is one of the things that sustains the people through every difficulty. Whatever their theological disagreements or doubts, those who created this new nation in the 18th century shared a unanimous faith in the positive impact of vital religious institutions. For more than 150 years, the national leaders who followed them echoed their confidence in the importance of religiosity to the health of society and to the stability of government. And it's that consensus that I'm proud to be part of. One of the questions that I'm sure occurs to people is, how is it that this Jewish guy here, and I am proudly Jewish, I try to be observant. I'm very involved in Jewish activities. I was president of a synagogue for 15 years. So how can I be so outspoken that America is and continues to be a Christian nation? Because I happen to believe that this country has been good for my people, not in spite of its Christian heritage, but because of it. Because I happen to believe that Christianity actually is good for the nation at large. And things that are good for America, yeah, by definition, are good for the Jews, because this country has been such a blessing to my people. In sharpest contrast to secular militants today, who fear the increased influence of religious faith, the founders worried over the potential impact of diminished influence for Christian faith. While separationists today sound the alarm over theocracy, the revolutionary generation, Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, Washington, Hamilton, all the rest of them, the revolutionary generation felt dread and horror, particularly after the atheists led the French Revolution. They felt horror at the potential rule of what they called unbelief. By the time Alexis de Tocqueville visited this flourishing republic in the early 1830s, he noted the universal conviction that Christian enthusiasm played a powerful role in the nation's success. He wrote, "In the United States, Christian sects are infinitely diversified and perpetually modified, but Christianity itself is an established and irresistible fact which no one undertakes either to attack or defend." That comes to the question of our national hymnal. What do I mean? Well, the blending of faith and nationalism became an additional irresistible fact more than two centuries ago, reinforcing the American idea that religion serves the cause of the nation, just as the nation ultimately serves the cause of religion. In the emotional days after the September 11th attacks, for instance, secular activists objected to performances of God Bless America or God Bless the USA in public schools, but their inability to suggest some faith-free alternatives highlighted their alienation from the American mainstream. All of our most revered nationalist songs emphasize the Republic's special connection to the Almighty. Now, this is a basic fact of American life. Okay, you don't want people to sing God Bless America? You don't want people to sing God Bless the USA? What are you going to have them sing? Every patriotic song, everyone, invokes God at some point. Our national anthem, for instance, the Star-Spangled Banner, indicates that the idea of this relationship, the relationship between religious faith and patriotism, preceded today's religious rite by at least 200 years. The Star-Spangled Banner includes Francis Scott Key's incontrovertibly religious sentiments in its final verse. That final verse says,
"Oh, the Spirit ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust."
That's where the phrase comes from. The phrase that is on the currency. Okay, if you're going to junk the national anthem because it mentions God, then what are you going to do about our alternate national anthem, the other most beloved patriotic hymn? That's America the Beautiful, with its chorus, "America, America, God, shed his grace on thee." Now, Catherine Lee Bates began writing those words after reaching the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado in 1893 and entering a state of near religious ecstasy upon contemplation of the great plains to the east spread out below her. She included lots of verses that repeatedly ask assistance from the Almighty. "America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law." And can we really ask? Is America a Christian nation?
This is the Michael Medved Show.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update.
It provides for greater accountability over Ukraine aid.
You're listening to House Speaker Mike Johnson as the House passes a $95 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan.
It forces an in-game strategy for the Ukraine war. It includes a loan instrument of this foreign aid to Ukraine and the Repo Act to ensure that Russian assets pay for part of the bill.
The Senate expected to vote on this funding on Tuesday, and then the bill heads to President Biden's desk. Now, as for the breakdown of all the money, $61 billion slated for Ukraine, $26 billion heading to Israel, and $8 billion going to Taiwan. Severe weather in North Carolina forcing the Trump campaign to cancel a rally Saturday planned in the town of Wilmington. The former president, who was already in the state, calling into the rally to ask supporters to move out of the area as a severe storm was moving in.
I'm devastated that this could happen.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Marching song of the American Revolution, Chester, full of references to God, but so are all patriotic American songs, which tells you something about the essence of this country. For instance, we talked about the Star-Spangled Banner, we talked about America the Beautiful. How about America, also known as My Country, Tis of Thee, same melody as God Save the King? Well, that provides no safe haven for those who yearn to disentangle religious and patriotic messages, not with the inescapably churchy concluding verse that says, Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Okay, you can't get away from this stuff. And then you come to the Battle Hymn of the Republic, the stirring marching song of the war between the states. It isn't merely religious, with its chorus invoking the biblical word, hallelujah, praise to God. But it's also specifically Christian. Why? Well, because the final, very moving verse, most often sung in a reverent hush, as it is here by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Christ was born on the cross for sin. With the glory of his voice on that sin goes to.
original words were, as he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. They've substituted the phrase, let us live to make men free. But, I mean, come on, can you imagine? How come the American Civil Liberties Union has left that song alone? Because when they say his truth is marching on, they're not talking about John Brown or Abraham Lincoln. They're talking about Jesus. It is a Christian song in a Christian country. Meanwhile, a Jewish guy wrote the most recent of the popular patriotic melodies, which first appeared on the eve of World War II as a love letter to the nation from an immigrant boy who became the leading Broadway composer of perhaps all time. His name was Irving Berlin, original name Yisrael Balin. He donated all proceeds from God Bless America to the Boy Scouts, another politically correct institution, by the way. And he implored the Almighty to stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. Now, some contemporary Americans clearly feel deeply uncomfortable with our long history of weaving together a sense of national identity with claims of divine mission, with our consistent assumption that the Almighty has selected this nation for his purposes. These alarmed opponents of theocracy, in quotes, have every right to argue that we will enjoy a brighter, better future by severing the old association between faith and nationalism, but they shouldn't mischaracterize the past or suggest a return to an era of absolute church-state separation that never existed and that certainly our founders never intended. You see, that's the point. I see absolutely no reason at all that anyone could conceivably argue that this country would be better off as a more secular nation. And who is working on the changes? Well, that falls under the heading demanding radical transformation. A candid review of our nation's religious heritage demonstrates that it is today's aggressive secularists, not religious conservatives, who want radical change in the social contract. From the first settlers through the end of World War II, virtually all elements of society accepted and even celebrated the deeply Christian nature of our government and our culture. So what is it that Christian conservatives want, given the fact that this country has been so clearly Christian? Okay, it is a defensive struggle against people who want to deny and alter essential elements of this republic. Tell you how, coming up on this special broadcast. Whatever the controversies, whatever the surprises in the world around us at the moment, it's important to get some perspective, and no better source of perspective than the history of this great country. At MedVetHistoryStore.com, check out some of the titles we have on offer about the Constitution, about the origins of our tax system, about the history of third parties, about the question of whether America really is a Christian or is it a secular nation. There's a trick answer to that trick question. Enrich your understanding and appreciation with CDs and MP3 downloads at MedVetHistoryStore.com. Glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on. Described as a church hymn, it is the battle hymn of the Republic. And yeah, it was wildly popular on the Union side, at least during the war between the states. Now it, of course, is cherished as a part of the American hymnal. And I'm focusing on these patriotic songs because when you look at them, it shows how utterly absurd is the proposition that America was founded as a secular nation, it always flourished as a secular nation. Okay, if you want to believe that, then, okay, when did it change if we were supposed to be so secular from the beginning? It must have changed before Francis Scott Key wrote the national anthem and put in it the words, and this be our motto, and God is our trust. It must have changed sometime before you have Julia Ward Howe writing Battle Hymn of the Republic, and writing very specifically about Jesus Christ In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. See, this is the essence of the argument. If you ask people, is America a Christian nation? Stupid people will say, no, it never was. It was always a secular nation. Okay, we've just presented a great deal of evidence that that was not true in our founding. And then some people will say, well, yeah, it used to be a Christian nation, but that changed. Question, when did it change? Did I miss something here? When did it change? I think there are people who are trying to change it, but there are many of the rest of us, not all of us Christians, who would like to defend this nation's religious heritage because I think it's good. It's the other side that is involved in the desire to change America. And that goes to a basic question. What is it that Christian conservatives really want? Christian conservatives seek to restore America far more than they hope to change America.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. Exit polls from the 2020 election show signs of a stronger Republican Party building a broader base. The Trump campaign focused on winning black, Latino, and Asian votes and, to a surprising extent, succeeded. President Trump's percentage of black voters rose by 50% compared to 2016, and among Latino males, he scored a competitive 36%. The GOP also saw a surge in Jewish support from 24% to 31%. A rise that played a role in Trump's Florida victory. In another area, Republicans still have work to do. Self-described moderate voters, 40% of the overall electorate, pick Biden over Trump by nearly 2-1. Yes, conservatives are more numerous than liberals, so we can win without outright majorities among the moderates. But Republicans win best as a right-center coalition, and moderate shouldn't be treated as a dirty word. I'm Michael Medved. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, MichaelMedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR. EMDR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
At michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. San Francisco School Board has ordered 44 schools to settle on new names by December 18th, replacing historic figures they've associated with racism, abuse of women or the environment, exploitation of workers, and hostility to, quote, queer or transgendered populations. Washington High School and Jefferson Elementary must go, of course, along with Roosevelt Middle School and Paul Revere K-8. Lincoln High School also makes the dishonor roll because of Abe's alleged crimes against Indians. Though he commuted 1862 death sentences for 264 Lakota warriors who had slaughtered 800 American civilians. Even Dianne Feinstein Elementary demands a change. Because as mayor, she replaced a vandalized Confederate flag in a historic City Hall display. This mid-pandemic timing of staggering stupidity has outraged Mayor London Breed of San Francisco, and it's appropriate to demand that Kamala Harris take a stand on the controversy roiling her home base. Would she dare support similar insanity on a national scale? I'm Michael Medved. What is it that Christian conservatives really want? Christian conservatives seek to restore America far more than they hope to change America. If you take a look at the most controversial goals of Christian conservatives, what are they? Banning abortion? Limiting marriage to male-female unions? What a concept. Returning prayer to schools? Educating kids for self-control rather than condoms? Displaying religious symbols on public property? Restricting obscenity on the public airwaves? None of these goals count as daring innovations or revolutionary transformations. In fact, as recently as the years of my own childhood, the United States cheerfully, even proudly, embraced every single one of the rules and norms now considered radical and theocratic by critics of the Christian right. In other words, what the Christian right wants to do is to restore America to the Eisenhower era. Okay, at least in terms, not in everything, not in terms of segregation, God forbid, but in terms of accommodating and affirming Christian faith. In Pennsylvania, the state where I was born in Philadelphia, the old law required, quote, that at least 10 verses from the Holy Bible be read without comment at the opening of each public school on each school day. Now, that was the law in Pennsylvania, for goodness sake, when I was born. Four other states enforce similar legislation requiring mandatory Bible readings every morning before class. That's a total of five states. And 25 more states had laws on the books explicitly authorizing optional Bible readings before the Supreme Court definitively struck down all such statutes in the Abington decision of 1963. Does that mean that Eisenhower's America constituted some dictatorial theocracy, that it was the equivalent of Iran or Afghanistan be under the Taliban? Hardly. Did we only throw off the crushing yoke of religious tyranny with the sweeping church-state Supreme Court decisions of the 1960s? Oh, come on.
Recent skirmishes over religious displays on public property highlight the fact that it's secular militants who want to remake America in a style that's unrecognizable to citizens of an earlier era. Only on rare occasions do people of faith attempt to insert Christian symbols in new venues, as did the controversial judge Roy Moore with his ultimately banished Ten Commandments monument in Alabama. For the most part, the symbolic disputes involve memorial crosses, Ten Commandments displays, or nativity scenes that appeared without challenge for 50 years or 100 years until the ACLU brought lawsuits to cleanse the landscape of this unconstitutional pollution. In the past 50 years, the separationists have enjoyed remarkable success in stripping away signs of religious influence. But it's at best arguable that they've shaped a better country in the process. What's better about it? The majority of Americans resist the march towards some religion-free utopia and yearns rather for a more relaxed, more balanced relationship between faith and state, and for the spirit of the beloved old songs. If it's true that the founders actually intended to create a secular society rather than a Christian one, then it's obvious that they failed miserably. Because the society that came into existence after the Constitution was and remains deeply Christian. And to most citizens, America doesn't feel like a failure. It doesn't feel like a mistake. Even the most avid religious activists intend no theocratic coup, but they pray rather for further blessings from the Creator. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. And that brings us to a song that we've featured here. That song, We Gather Together. What is the message of that song? It's also sometimes referred to as the Pilgrim's Hymn. Did the Pilgrims really sing that song? Well, historians suggest that they probably knew it. It actually was an import from Holland, where the Pilgrims had spent time. And we know it was popular in Holland in precisely the time period that they lived there. And what's the underlying message of that song and its relevance for us? We will get to that and more.
Michael Medved.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Despite possible disappointment in the outcome of the presidential race, Republicans can find reasons for encouragement in the election returns of November 3rd. GOP congressional candidates performed far better than expected, making significant gains in the House and holding their own in Senate contests. These victories have set up the strong likelihood that Mitch McConnell, himself handily reelected, will maintain the GOP's crucial Senate majority. This means that the more radical, alarming elements of the Democratic agenda can be blocked in the upper house. No court packing, no Green New Deal, no automatic statehood for D.C. or Puerto Rico, no confiscatory tax increases. The founders, who provided for a system of checks and balances to prevent too much concentrated power in the hands of a single faction, would be pleased to see that even if a Democrat ultimately wins the White House, the tradition of divided government will endure. I'm Michael Medved. The song that's sometimes known as the Thanksgiving hymn, sometimes it's known as We Gather Together, has a very long and deeply American history, even though it started on the other side of the Atlantic. So did most of us, or at least our forefathers, our ancestors. That song started in 1597. That's the first time it was written down. And it was written down in Netherlands by some of the Protestants who were fighting against the Catholic King Philip II of Spain. And the words in Dutch were, Wilt heden nu treden, loosely translated, we gather together. It appeared in print in a 1626 collection of Dutch patriotic songs, and it's very likely, at least according to people who are historians of the Pilgrims knew about it. Why? Because it was very popular in Holland. They lived in Holland before they sailed to the New World. We certainly know that Dutch settlers to the New World brought that particular song to these shores. And then in 1877, it was picked up, it was published in Leipzig, Germany, And then Theodore Baker, an American scholar who was studying in Leipzig, translated into English as a prayer of thanksgiving to be sung by a choir. The words are deep, and they really go directly to what we're talking about in this special broadcast, Is America a Christian Nation? You can get a CD version of the broadcast or a download of it from our website at michaelmedved.com. The words are profound. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known the wicked oppressing. Now cease from distressing, sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. And then this. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. In the midst of all the sound and fury of the campaign, you may not have noticed that Democrats have entirely abandoned one of their favorite issues of the past two decades. In 2020, you hear nothing about campaign finance reform or longstanding liberal hopes of limiting citizens and companies in supporting their favorite causes. As recently as 2012, Obama, Hillary, and other prominent liberals spoke of amending the Constitution to strike down the Citizens United case that made it easier for corporations to participate in ongoing public debates. Why have Democrats dropped that point of view? Because Joe Biden has uncorked a gusher of money, breaking all records, outspending Trump by more than 3-1 on TV ads in key swing states. 4 years ago, Hillary also outspent Trump, but lost the election. Biden's runaway spending should strip Democrats of any ongoing ability to attack their opponents for trying to.
Hey, old man. Yeah, you, baby boomer. Are you feeling tired, run down, old, have aches and pains? Do you have a lack of energy that you once had in your youth? Carbon 60 is a new technology to help you restore your youth. Now, this is not hype or a gimmick. You see, Carbon 60 detoxifies you at the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. The results reported with energy, health, and vitality are nothing short of miraculous. In short order, you'll notice a difference in a few days. It's not a drug, it's carbon. Give us a call at Greska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com. You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.